What is Brandon Kane is a digital strategist for Fortune 500 companies, global brands, and celebrities. He started his career in the entertainment industry, managing digital divisions for two prominent movie studios. And his most recent book really addresses some key elements of the world that we live in. It's called Hook Point: How to Stand Out in a 3-Second World. And he breaks down the most effective strategies for generating new opportunities and innovate and scale your business in this micro attention world that we live in. Brendan, thanks for joining me on the Toddcast.
Thanks for having me, Todd. It's a pleasure to connect with you and everybody that's listening to this.
Yeah, it's super cool, dude. Like, I'm a nerd for attention. Right? Like, you have to be if you want to be a competitive marketer in this world. Now, before we get into the micro attention world and we start to unwrap that for the audience, take us a little bit down memory lane. Like, how did you get started in your career and what inspired you to be obsessed with a hook point micro attention world?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I started off wanting to be a film producer. And so what I did is I went to film school to learn the business side of the entertainment industry and just learn about business in general. So by the time I show up in LA, that I was prepared and ready to provide value to people at the highest level. But when I showed up to film school, I quickly realized they teach you nothing about business there. It's all about like lighting and directing and all of that, which is great. You know, it's important stuff, but I knew I needed to have a more well-rounded education. So I felt that, you know, the best way to learn about business is to start your own. And the most cost-efficient way at the time, and it still holds true today, is to start internet companies. So I started a few internet companies while I was going to college, really just to learn, to get that experience of what it takes to get something up and running, what it takes to manage something on a daily basis. So that by the time I showed up to LA, I cultivated this new skill set, more so just to give me that background that would hopefully make me a better movie producer. But when I showed up to LA, I have to start like everybody else at the bottom, making coffee and copies and deliveries. And when I tried to really break in and gain the attention of a studio head or a director or actor or screenwriter, it was falling flat.
Yes.
Because when they would ask me, well, what do I do? It's like, oh, I want to be a film producer. But what I realized is there was hundreds of thousands, if not millions of other people moving to LA to pursue the same thing. So I knew it wasn't a unique hook. It wasn't grabbing the attention in the way that I wanted. And I didn't want to be sitting around making coffee and copies for years and work myself up the corporate ladder. I have nothing against it. But to me, I have that entrepreneurial spirit and I want to really move faster. So what I did was I just took a step back and I started listening. Started listening to the conversations that were happening around the studio and the office and any information I could glean. And an interesting thing showed up is I noticed that once a movie was done, there was a sense of anxiety that came over the office because they spent tens of millions, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars producing this piece of creative. And now they're in a position where they need hundreds of millions of people to know about this thing in a matter of months to have a chance of breaking even or generating a profit.
Ah, so you saw a window of an opportunity to provide some expertise, gain influence, and then expand your career from there.
Absolutely. So I used a hook of, hey, listen, I just started three internet companies while I was going to college. And this was back in 2005. So the entertainment industry was reawakened to digital after .com bust and said, yep, I'd be more than happy to give you some tips or strategies or help you craft some ways to reach tens of millions of people with no cost or little cost at all by tapping into these traffic sources, blogs, websites, and social media was just coming on the scene. So using social media as well. And that took me from making coffee and copies to then be invited to boardroom meetings around big movies with like 20 veteran marketers and executives, getting invited to meetings with directors. I remember there was one movie I worked on called Untraceable with Diane Lane. And they had me rewrite parts of the script based on like what was happening in social and digital. Right. And then went from meetings to being asked by the head of the studio to build the first digital division for the studio. So that's where it kind of really started of like, well, how do I get myself to stand out And most people know me from 1 million followers and online, but like this concept of hook points, I perfected not just online, but offline too, to drive major opportunities for brands and businesses and individuals.
You know, it's so funny as you're saying that, I feel like I'm walking down memory lane, 2003 to 2007. I'm running digital for 7 of the largest national talk shows at iHeartRadio, Clear Channel, the Premier Radio Network, all one big company. And there were very few people at that time that knew how to command attention and then move people through buyers' journeys online. So you got pulled into meetings that at that age, we probably wouldn't have been in if it wasn't for the birth right then of the digital revolution. Now, how do you, oh, by the way, while we're on this topic, in a future episode, I'll tell the audience, I'll tell you guys how I got myself fired at the Fox Lab by the head of the network. That'll come up in another episode. Good story, devastating, happened on Christmas Eve, coming up in another episode. But Brendan, how do you explain micro attention in the world that we live in now, where you have less than 3 seconds to capture a person's attention?
So the world that we live in today, for better or for worse, there's over 60 billion messages. I know it's insane. It sounds unfathomable, but it's 60 billion with a B that are sent out on digital platforms each day. Between social media, push notifications, text messages, emails, it's a very oversaturated, noisy world. And because of that, you're no longer just competing against your direct competition. You're competing against every piece of content for that attention. Like it or not, you're competing against Netflix. You're competing against Kim Kardashian, The Rock, all of these content juggernauts. So what that means is the number one asset that you can cultivate is gaining that attention in that first 3 seconds to win the first part of the conversation. Now, I am not saying that you can't hold people's attention for long periods of time. You can. But the most difficulty that I see people have, whether it's a startup or a multi-billion dollar corporation, is winning that first part of the conversation, that first 3 seconds. And if you don't do that, you will never make it to your story, your message, your call to action, or any of that. So again, it's really mastering that first 3 seconds to capture that attention, to bring them into the story, into the conversation that you want to have with them. And if you can do that, you can ultimately be successful. But 99% of people are failing with that today because it's completely transformed the way that we create content, create messaging, and it's almost flipping it on its head.
Right. And when it comes to content like video, when it comes to introducing yourself to a new person, it's almost elevator pitch first, in a very short, succinct way that's efficient and consistent and allows you to fuel your brand. Am I on track?
Yeah, I would hesitate to say the word pitch because I almost have a adverse reaction to the word pitch, because not because there's something wrong with the word, but most people, when they start pitching, they go into sale mode. And I hate selling. I love providing value. And that's where we have the most success. But I can give you an example.
Before you do though, bro, pardon me for 1 second. Now, just for people that are, you just dropped a little knowledge bomb right here. And I want to just make sure we unpack it for people. The issue about not selling and using the opposite approach, which is adding value. If you're adding value and it's undeniable, you don't even have to sell. People will just stick on your every word because it's knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb. And before you know it, you're the only logical solution to execute on that. And it feels like that's the reason why you made the distinction on pitching, because a lot of people pitch sell too early without adding massive value to even tee the whole thing up.
Yeah. And most people screw it up in that way. And I'll give you an example. It's like, you know, a better part of my career has been going into major boardrooms with CEOs of major companies or CMOs or celebrities. And one of the most important lessons that I learned in that process of, you know, generating hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for my clients and closing major partnerships with like an MTV or Taylor Swift or whatever that may be, is the minute that you go in with a pitch, a slide deck, or a demo, you get stuck in a box. And it's very hard to adjust based upon the reaction. So what I do is I stopped using presentations, decks, demos, at all costs. Sometimes there's, you have to do it. Like if you're, if it's a technology and people want to see it, but I start every single meeting by controlling the conversation, by starting with understanding who they are, asking questions to understand how they perceive the world, asking them point blank, what is your biggest challenge? What is your biggest obstacle? What keeps you up at night? And the minute that I can understand how that individual or group of individuals perceives their business, perceives the economy, perceives their greatest challenge, what they value in terms of marketing or technology, now I can shape the value that I provide based upon what they provide. Versus you go in and you just start spewing your demo, your pitch deck or whatever, and they may not even perceive that as valuable at all. And then you've lost. You've lost that conversation. You've lost that attention, and it's almost impossible to recover from it. And we use the same principles in terms of creating ads, creating organic content. We look at the mass scale of what's happening in society and the world and identify how people are perceiving the world, how people are perceiving their greatest challenges and pain points. And then we craft our messages around that, test it, see what the overall response rate is, and then shift as needed to make sure that we're getting better and better of articulating how we show up in the world, articulating how we can solve a huge pain point for somebody or for millions of people.
Is the core of this identifying what is relevant for them and then aligning with that relevance and working to understand and solve it?
Relevance is definitely a big part of it. Tying into big pain points is another one, which is similar to relevance, but it's different. Like one of the exercises I do is, to everybody listening to this, think about the greatest challenge that you face in your personal life or your business life today. Something that gives you so much anxiety and stress, keeps you up at night. And just think about how painful that is. Now, just imagine I come to you and say, hey, listen, I know you're experiencing this deep pain point. I would love to solve that for you. What are you going to say?
Have at it,
man. Hell yes. It's like, right. please do it. So that's one way. The other way is we use a communication framework that has 40 years of experience. It's used by NASA. It's used by Pixar and Audi and Bill Clinton to connect at scale. And what it does is it demonstrates that each individual perceives the world in six different ways. We have access to all six, but typically we use one as the base way we perceive the world, which dictates how we communicate and how we like to be communicated. So for example, I perceive the world through thoughts and logic. Now, if I just speak thoughts and logic, I'm just speaking to myself, which is only 25% of the North American population. So by me contextualizing my message only with data and facts and things that make sense, I'm alienating 75% of the North American population. So we focus on as the big three. It's fun, feelings, and facts. And if you can contextualize your message with those three, layering in facts and logic and data, but layering in how it makes you feel, the emotional part of it, also how fun and exciting it is, that's 75% of the North American population. And that's where you can really drive massive results. If you want an example of somebody that nailed this, look at the original video that Dollar Shave Club launched.
Beautiful.
It's fun, there's facts and it makes sense, and there's an emotional compelling thing. And that's why it resonated so well. So one of the biggest mistakes people make is they're just speaking to themselves when they're creating content, instead of contextualizing it where the widest audience can really hear it and connect with it and understand it.
All right. So as a content creator, is one of the places you should be getting started is understanding the contextual elements that will impact the fun and the feeling and the give me the third F.
Fun,
feeling, and facts, is understanding where your largest audience is and helping to shape that for them before you get started.
Yeah. And I want to say we're never changing who somebody is. We're never changing their product, their service. We're just changing the way that you contextualize it and represent it in the world. So it's like when we work with private clients, we train them in this model. When we're developing hook points for our clients, we are looking at this from a psychological perspective. Because again, you can have the best strategy in the world, but if you're only speaking to yourself or speaking to a very small subset of the audience, then it can fall flat. But yes, to your question is like really understanding how you're showing up in the world, how you're communicating, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, so that you can have a well-rounded approach to getting the message out to the world.
You know, it's so interesting we're talking about these hook points, because yesterday I got to announce that Tony Robbins asked me to speak at his Business Mastery event coming up in March. And I've been doing a lot of trainings for Tony and been able to hold the audience, 93% of the audience, for the full hour. But I'm obsessed with increasing my hook points and my ability to move larger numbers of people. So because I'm a perfectionist, I'm also scrapping my opening and redoing my hooks in order to pull people in deeper. And it sounds like insanity doing that, but I think that there's a real element here to being able to stand out quickly, understand what their pain points are, add massive value. And from what I understand with hook points in your book, that this is a major opportunity for people to do verbally when they're meeting people out in the real world, if God willing, we're allowed to go and press flesh and shake hands again. But it also transfers over into your content online and your printed materials as your company goes to scale, because you have such a limited amount of time to be able to hook that attention and pull them in, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you, I'm sure you kill it on stage. And for me, it was killing it in the boardroom. It's like I can still to this day, I can go to any boardroom with any major CEO, celebrity, and understand how to, you know, win them over by, again, not selling, but providing value.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing for guys like you and I is we'll master the stage, we'll master the boardroom, but then when it comes to scaling on social media, it's a completely different ballgame. When we're talking about going from impacting 10 or even 1,000 people on stage or in a boardroom, going to reaching the millions, it's completely different. And it's completely different for one reason. And that's where we started off, that there's 60 billion messages sent out on these platforms each day, which means there's so much competition, and which means the algorithms, which people demonize, they have questions, concerns, confusion about, has a very difficult job. And it has only one job. At its core, the only thing it's there to do is to keep you on the platform longer, because that's how these platforms make money. Now, because that's their sole job, they are looking and prioritizing content that does that. So if you look at social media and being successful or scaling your message, it comes down to two things and two things only. It's very simple. One, can you get somebody to stop? That's where the hook point comes in. Because if people don't stop and they scroll past,
or it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great your product, your service, your purpose, your why, any of that stuff is. And that stuff is valuable, but it doesn't matter if you can't get somebody to just stop. Because the minute somebody scrolls past or doesn't click, it signals the algorithms, this content's not going to keep people on the platform longer, so we're going to deprioritize it. Which plays to the second thing, is it's not just about grabbing attention. We're not talking about clickbait here, because we all know with clickbait, it's misleading and you lose the attention.
And I will always click on that. See what the Kardashian stepped out with today. Click, you know, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, this thing sucks. Like it has a way of hooking us.
Yeah. But the algorithms have gained smart to that. They know that if you click or you stop the scroll, but then you stop looking at it after 5 or 10 or 15 seconds, they're going to deprioritize it. So that second thing is, once you have the attention, how long can you hold it for? And if you can master those two things, which is simple, but not necessarily easy to do, you will succeed no matter what changes happen with the algorithms, what platform you're going after. And that's the key to success in today's world and scaling your message. But what we talked, where we started, is you said, well, is that first 3 seconds your elevator pitch? And I say, no, like you're not even there yet. You have to earn the right to get to that. So like when we look at the first 3 seconds, it can come to many different variables. It can be copy. And a lot of people's head goes, it goes to the copy, which could be the meme card or the headline, which is one thing. But everybody's doing meme cards now. So your meme card has to really stand out. It could be the pacing, the tone, like Prince EA, who wrote the foreword of my book. His pacing and tone is so amazing that it brings people in. He can take a subject like the environmentalism and protecting the planet, something that is talked about billions of times, and make it go viral and generate 110 million views. Not because he's saying anything different, but he's contextualizing it in a different way. So there's different ways that you can go about doing it. To give you an example of a video that went viral for us is one of the tools we use sometimes, I've always, but is subverting expectations, flipping something on its head. So we had a video where the meme card on top said, "Warning," in all caps, "Safety is dangerous."
Right.
So what that does is it flips the known terminology or the known quote that's been said multiple different ways in a completely unique way, just to get somebody to stop, to pay attention to what we have to say.
Kind of jams up the mental processing too. Like there's like a two contradictions here. And before you know it, you're like, that didn't make sense. I got to lean in and figure this thing out, or it's going to eat away at my brain for a little while. And then you've moved them to the next stage where you've earned a little bit more time and you can start pulling them into the deeper thought. Is that where you're going?
Yeah. So what we use, and I'm sure I know, Todd, you've heard that term, and I think a lot of people out there, is pattern interruption.
Right.
So just imagine we're on Netflix and we just watch a Netflix trailer. We just watch LeBron James dunk. We just watch Kevin Hart tell a joke. Now it's our content. And our content has to stack up from the standpoint of gaining attention. It doesn't need to be on the production value level or anything, but it needs to interrupt that pattern to stop that scroll, to earn that click, so that they can say, well, that's interesting, or I want to hear more about that. And it gets the stop and then gets you to win the next part of the conversation. Beautiful. And then the next part and so forth.
For my audience, you'll know that I published this week in the Toddcast the story of the Blue Speedo, Todd and the Blue Speedo. And that Blue Speedo story of when my then girlfriend wasn't answering my phone calls and how I pattern interrupted her and got her back into a conversation with me, and she's been my wife for 21 years, is the real life example of a pattern interrupt, right? So go back, feel free to go and look at that. It'll take it from real life and tell you how to do it in a digital world. Now, with your book, with 3 second, the hook point and how to stand out in this 3 second world, is your book teaching us how to do this in a face-to-face context and in a digital context?
Yes, across the board. So we talk about social and digital. We talk about the offline world. Like offline, we give examples of how me and some of my partners have closed deals with like a Disney and Netflix and MTV, how I won Taylor Swift as a client. From a digital perspective, we show our success, but I have like friends that we break down. Like I have a friend named Craig Clemens, one of the smartest copywriters in the world, that has sold over $1 billion worth of products using social media ads, breaking down his methodology. So we teach both aspects because, and I think you would agree, Todd, it's not just about digital and social, which is a huge component, but leveraging the two off of each other is where real scale, real success comes from.
Okay. In the interest of full disclosure, you know, I've had a 20-year career like you have. It's been wildly successful. If I went and evaluated myself, the area where I think I have in my opening introductions and conversations, it's going to be in that first 3 seconds and how I explain what I do. Because as somebody who uses video for remote selling, it's a bit of a large thing for somebody to digest quickly. And it probably took me 10 years just to come up with remote selling as like the term. It's a difficult thing. What type of exercise could somebody go through that would help them start to boil down their hook point so they could start using it in a variety of different ways?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the book, we have a 5-step framework, and I'll break down some of those exercises. We don't have time to go through all of them. But one of the first places I always start is to study what is working and what is not working in the marketplace. And the easiest place to start is what gets you to stop. What books do you buy? What TV shows do you watch? What billboards make you stop and talk? Or what email gets you to open? And start actually looking at it and understanding it and dissecting it. And one of the exercises that we say is take that hook point, even if it's not a completely relevant to your industry, and start plugging in your products or services. It's a good baseline to start, you know, understanding how to craft. And I'm not saying that you immediately use those, because it may not be the right fit to kind of use somebody else's and plug in your product or service. You've got to make it your own in a certain way, but it starts training your mind in a certain way of how to look at the world, how to look at yourself, how to look at your brand and product, but also look at the things that don't get you to open or click, the things that don't get you to stop the scroll, the things that a book or a TV show or a billboard that doesn't get you to stop, and dissect that as well. Then once you've done that a few times, one of the exercises I give as part of this five-step framework is to imagine an editor of a magazine calls you up in your specific niche, whether it's like the New York Times, Time Magazine, or anything in your specific world. And they say, listen, we're going to give you the cover and it's only going to be you. So what is that headline that you want to represent your brand, your product, or service? Now, when thinking about that, I want you to visualize your core customer walking down a busy street and showing up at a magazine stand where there's 50 other magazines on there. What is that headline that's going to make somebody stop on that busy street, pick out your magazine out of the other 50, buy it and read it? Because that's the world that we live in today. That's how difficult it is. But when doing it, I don't want you to come up with just one. Come up with 15, 20, 30, as many as you can think of. And when you hit that wall, push yourself even further, because we find that sometimes the most creative ideas will come from pushing past those limits that you think you have on yourself.
Bro, you just dropped a serious knowledge bomb for the audience. I hope you recognize how valuable that is. One, make yourself your best case study. When you start to see yourself get caught on something in content and it interrupts the pattern of you going through the newsfeed, red flag. What is it that made you stop? Analyze that, use yourself as your best case study, and start to create a list of the 10, 15, 20 of these hook points that'll command your attention, and then start testing it in the marketplace of ideas to see which ones convert at the best level. He's Brendan Kane. Dude is a digital strategist for Fortune 500 companies. His new book is going to be an essential tool for you for creating your own hook point. The book is called, guess what? Hook Point, How to Stand Out in a World, in a 3-second world, and allows you to then command that attention and move somebody to the next stage. Brendan, where can people find out more information about you, dude?
Yeah, well, if you want to check out the book, it's sold anywhere books are sold, but I would go to book.hookpoint.com, because with buying the book, you get access to a free masterclass. And if they want to learn more about me or Hook Point, they can go to brendanjkane.com. They can direct message me on Instagram at Brendan Kane, or email me at bkane@brendanjkane.com.
Beautiful. Now, a lot of people can do the knowledge transfer quicker in other forms of content besides text. Is there an audio book for you?
Yeah. So you can get the audio book. It's included with your purchase at book@hookpoint.com. You can get it at Audible as well. But at book@hookpoint.com, you get the physical book, you get the audio book, and a masterclass, all for the same price.
Do you see what the dude just did? A la Russell Brunson, he moved you into getting something that is irresistible that you just can't do without. You're going to get a book. You're going to get a physical book so you can write notes, and you get an audio book so when you get into the car, you're going to be able to crush it and learn on the go like I learn when I'm running in the morning. And then you're going to get into a course. Can you tell me about that course?
Yeah. So we break down in that it's about an hour and a half masterclass, and we break down very specific examples of hook points from like Elon Musk, Netflix, Prince Ye, who I mentioned, you know, some other notable musicians and other people, and how they crafted hook points. And then we also break down that 5-step framework as well with it, as you can start creating your own.
So I'm going to go through this. This is going to be part of my holiday exercise, because this dude doesn't slow down. I don't know how I speed up when people slow. When people are taking bong hits and watching Netflix, I'm going next level. So I'm going to go through this over the Christmas holidays. I will share with people the growth that I experienced, and I might reach back out to you and just rave about it if you don't mind. So thank you so much for joining me on the Toddcast.
Yeah, thanks, Todd, so much. It was a pleasure connecting with you and everybody listening to it. I really appreciate it.
Boom. Oh.